It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. The United States and Iran have agreed to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and stop the months-long Iran war while negotiations continue. That conflict has boosted inflation and energy prices in Wisconsin and around the country. The timeline on a full reopening of the key CP passage is still uncertain. It's not clear how long it could take for the economic impact to reach us in Wisconsin. Will Wisconsinites feel much relief from rising prices if this agreement holds? Thomas Kemp is with us, chair and professor in the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
All right. Knowing that in the world of diplomacy, there are a lot of maybes and ifs and uncertainties. That said, if the strait here where all this oil and fertilizer hasn't been passing through over the last few months, if it does reopen, what do you see in terms of the time it would take for that to start percolating and affecting the global economy?
Well, it's going to start affecting it almost immediately. The question is really how much, right? And so probably see some reduction in increases in prices, right? So prices probably won't keep rising as fast as they've been rising for the last few months. But I think it's unlikely that you're going to see a return to where prices were prior to this problem, because there's still a lot of uncertainty around this, and then also a lot of folks who have started rerouting supply chains. Excuse me, they're gonna stay away from this uncertainty if they can do so at all.
Oil and prices were falling sharply after this deal was announced, but a lot of countries were rationing things like oil, natural gas, gasoline. The United States not in that position. We just saw higher prices. How long does it take for supply shock to end and prices, especially for those fuels, to start coming down?
Well, different types of fuels will come down at different rates. Some of them that are more competitive markets, retail gasoline, for example, hazardous to speculate on that, but I would expect they would come down more quickly than some other rates. Some of these the larger purchases of these things, natural gas and so on and so forth, even fertilizers, those are on longer term contracts, so there may have been some escalators written into those. It'll take some time for them to pass through. The short but unsatisfactory answer is that it's probably going to take a little bit of time.
You mentioned fertilizer. That's key to a key industry here in Wisconsin, agriculture. And it sounds like, again, in these early announcements, there's more focus on getting oil and gas through that strait than the fertilizer products. Is this something that, hey, maybe 2026, we've got what we've got, and we'll see 2027, the impact of fertilizer starting to flow? A lot of it comes from that part of the world.
Yeah, well, I'll have to admit that I probably don't know enough about farming to know the answer to that question. I would expect that given that it's mid-June, that a lot of the demand for fertilizer has come and gone in the state, but perhaps that's not so. I expect that there will be some additional fertilizer on the market and available for farmers who could utilize it still this year. You're talking probably a month or two before that fertilizer, if it's still in the Persian Gulf, to get to a place like Wisconsin. But so that would be, late August or thereabouts. So maybe it still happens in 2026, but yeah, probably 2027.
All right, looking bigger picture now, I'm looking at a chart of inflation in the United States over the last 100 years or so. Yes, it's peaking now over this last few months. It hasn't hit the levels it did in, say, 2022, plus or minus, with the COVID shock, nor near what we saw in the 1970s and 80s. When we think about this long-term economics-wise, yeah, we feel it in the moment. Is this a blip on the radar that isn't going to really have a lot of lasting impact on the American economy?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. 10 years from now, it's probably not going to make all that much difference on the U.S. economy. There are more significant issues impacting the U.S. economy that we're making ourselves that we'll feel the effects more by then than this event.
All right, I can't leave that hanging. What other significant issues that we're making ourselves would have a bigger long-term impact?
Well, For many years now, the United States has been really quite flush with capital. It's the capital markets. There's a lot of capital kicking around the United States, and we're directing that capital in a variety of directions. That is to say, we are investing in new technologies, new ways of organizing business, new supply chains, so on and so forth. And the real question is whether those are solid investments or those are malinvestments or poor investments.
Sounds like you're talking about AI and data centers and things like that as a big subject of those investments.
Well, maybe that's certainly one of the big items in there. We're certainly gambling a lot on relatively little. If it turns out that those AI and data centers make American workers significantly more productive, then we'll feel those effects in terms of a improved American economy and improved American wealth. But if they don't, right, if they don't yield those productivity gains, then we'll be feeling the opposite effects. And those are likely to be much larger, longer term than the Straits of Hormuz will be for the U.S. For regional players, this is a total change of the game, to use that hackneyed phrase. If you're the UAE, if you're Qatar, if you're heck, if you're even Iran, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. But the US, less of a deal.
We're talking about what a deal to end the Iran war could mean for consumers and businesses in Wisconsin. Thomas Kemp is with us, chair and professor in the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire. When we see jumps in inflation, the cost of key products like gas prices, food prices, and things like that, Thomas, what do we know about what consumers do? What kind of areas do we cut back in that might affect the wider economy?
Yeah, it's kind of, when I teach. Well, let's talk about trade deficits, because that's, in some theory, how we got into this situation. I teach my first year students about trade deficits. The surest way to get out of a trade deficit is just wreck the economy, because then you can't afford to buy imported goods. And the data backs that pretty solidly. As these prices rise, consumers do shift away from goods and services that are marginally less necessary. You think of the things that any of your listeners, right? So what do you stop buying? And it's probably not things like healthcare. It's probably not things like education. If you needed legal services, it's probably not that. What it is it might be some smaller ticket consumer goods, might be vacations, things like that. Those items all have relatively low domestic value added. Compared to the former list of items, which have relatively high domestic value added, that is the former list, legal services, medical, healthcare, these all contribute very significantly to the U.S. economy, where sort of smaller ticket consumer items contribute marginally less to the U.S. economy. If you allow me, I need to explain that a little bit further, and that's that. We might think like, well, I spend a lot of money on small ticket consumer items, but yeah, a lot of the value out of that is domestic though. So if you think about most of the markup on a lot of the seemingly imported consumer items that one buys at the store, a lot of that markup is at the retail or the wholesale level, which is inside the United States. What you see is a movement away from relatively smaller tickets consumer items and larger ticket luxury items or sort of luxury expenditures, and then towards sort of more domestic produced mainstay items with inelastic demand, as we say in economics, or basically items that you can't do without.
When I've talked to you and other economists over the last year plus or so about the job market, it seems like the trend here is, okay, companies aren't massively laying people off, but they're also not particularly hiring people. And uncertainty is a big part of this. We don't want to make big moves and we don't know what the future holds. This Iran war, did that contribute to that uncertainty and reinforce that big question mark in the minds of people who hire or don't hire people?
Yeah, uncertainty is definitely the word of the era that we live in. Certainly nothing new to the US economy or even the global economy, but does not seem to be Well, let's just say that things seem very uncertain on almost all fronts. And as I always say, right, uncertainty is expensive. So if you're trying to operate as a business, right, you are hedging against uncertainty. If you're a consumer, you're hedging against uncertainty. Everybody is sort of holding back a little bit because of uncertainty and maybe a lot bit. The labor market in particular, right? So the jobs reports the last couple months have either been revised upward or were larger than expected. So there does seem to be some hiring going on recently. Certainly prior to that, there was a lot of evidence that firms were sort of holding off on hiring. So perhaps we're past that time. It's really hard to say more locally here in Wisconsin. I don't see really a huge boon in job growth. So it's somewhat hard for me to reconcile those more local anecdotal observations that I see with the larger federal numbers. That's not to say that I dispute them. I certainly do not. But it may be that the region here is maybe lagging behind the rest of the United States a little bit, which it often does.
A twist here, Thomas. Last time I talked to you, it was about the economics of skateboarding and the value of recreation, right, and entertainment on the economy. We've got this World Cup going on now, not happening in Wisconsin at all, of course. Does it hosting an event like the World Cup bring an economic boost?
Well, yes, certainly to the region, right? So to hosting location, the World Cup is going to bring some. Here, I thought I was getting all excited to talk about
Sorry.
skateboarding here. That's the World Cup, right? I know nothing about soccer or football, as the rest of the world calls it. But yeah, for sure, it's going to bring some local economic impact. But it's relatively short-lived. The real benefit of those type of events like the World Cup are sort of the prestige and sort of soft value that it brings to a nation. For example, the whole world is still able to participate in this thing, this World Cup, here in the United States, despite all this other stuff going on, with the uncertainties that we've alluded.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Thomas Kemp, Chair and Professor in the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire, looking at the impact of the end of the Iran war, apparent end on Wisconsin's economy.